Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Armchair Expert and I'm Dax Shepard. With me as always is Monica... No, I'm just kidding. I just really like that podcast. I wanted to see if I could confuse our listeners.
Hello, I'm Monica.
I am Jesse Harley. This is Reese Waters. Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing, Reese?
I'm average to above average.
Have you ever heard of Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert?
Yeah, I've never listened to it. I've seen it.
It's a good. It's actually a really good show. Yeah. You should check it out. It's well done.
What's the one I'm listening to? Knowledge Fight. I can't recommend Knowledge Fight
enough. Knowledge Fight.
So you know InfoWars, Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist?
Oh, I mean, I know of it. I've never really...
They forensically dissect everything he says to show how everything is completely made up.
That's amazing. Kind of like Penn & Teller's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they'll get clips and they'll talk about it. It's really fascinating. And they link him to Joe Rogan because he has Joe Rogan as a guest all the time. They're like, Joe Rogan, are you re-promoting this stuff? And he says stuff like, you know... there's alien DNA in the COVID vaccines and all this kind of stuff. But
Alex Jones is saying shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So two really good Dan and Jordan, the hosts, are just really funny comedians. But the one of them is kind of like dissecting each bit and doing the research, and it's really fun.
Wow!
If you want to hear really smart, funny people just make fun of QAnon and all the crazy COVID conspiracies, is a nice kind of fun thing. They basically disarm it with really good information. It's great.
That's nice. I like promoting other podcasts on podcasts that like you genuinely like.
We just promoted two podcasts that are way bigger than I was. Maybe we should promote shows that we can help.
If you have a podcast and you're one of our listeners and you think your podcast is good enough to share, I mean,
stay away from Canadian politics. If you want us to promote your show and you're not racist, we'll do it.
Well, I mean, maybe we might get flooded. All right, for the next 45 minutes, they'll just be listing off podcast names. No, send it to us. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com, and we'll give it a listen. And if it's not race, that's our only. That's Reese's only. What's the word I'm looking for? Your only requirement for promoting a podcast is it can't be racist. That's it. It could be horribly derogatory. It could be satanic in nature. Well, but as long as it's not racist.
Well, just not mean. Just don't be mean.
Don't be mean to people needlessly. So anyway, do you remember the episode?
We're just jumping right in.
Really long.
Not even like, how are you, Jesse? What have you been up to?
I'm Reese.
No, you don't. You don't give a shit.
It's fine.
You don't care at all. I feel like our friendship is just kind of like slowly.
Are we friends?
Like a.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
Okay, that sums it up right there.
So, a friend of the show, remember the episode we did a long time ago, a long, long time ago, maybe like 100 episodes or more ago? Mackenzie King.
Mackenzie King was like our second or third episode.
So, yeah, like literally, well, it would be 139 episodes ago.
Have we done that many episodes?
Maybe more. 140 episodes ago, something like
that. That's amazing.
So, Mackenzie King, remember him?
Of course. I love that episode. It was incredible. I've been saying for... like, as long as we've been doing the show, that we need to do more on Mackenzie King, because it's just, we just briefly touched on some insanity.
Why do you think we're talking about him?
Are we doing is this an update?
Update.
It's not an update. Like, he's been dead for a while. Yeah, like
70 years. No, but I recommend update. He's still dead. Just been dead for longer. I recommend you go back to that episode because we talk about his secret obsession with the afterlife. Do you know what happened?
It's such a good episode. Like, honest to God, our early episodes are, of course, rusty, as is anything when you first start them off, but that episode is really worth a listen.
And for this episode, I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and find some more stuff out about him. And the more I found out about him, the more I kind of felt bad for him.
Well, he's insane. Clearly.
No. He was really lonely.
Oh.
So.
Well, he had his mom possessed into his dog. I mean, like, that's.
Yeah, but there's only so much company you can get from a
mom-obsessed dog.
A dog possessed with the soul of your dead mother. Can't exactly play Scrabble.
I don't think Gwagger Schnibberfer is a word there.
I'm pretty sure you could train a dog to play Kaplunk, but.
I want to play Scrabble with a dog now. Let it win. All right, so this is, what is the title of this episode, Reese?
Digging up Mackenzie King. Sorry.
No, that was really good.
So, I've got...
Oh my God.
So I found some audio clips that I'm just going to scrub through and share with you because it was that thing where you just, I'll show you the conclusion I came to about, I kind of felt bad for him. This is a CBC eulogy of him when he died, which is kind of sad.
All right.
On Saturday night, the former Prime Minister of Canada, William Lyon Mackenzie King, died at his summer home outside Ottawa. Blair Fraser, Ottawa editor of Maclean's magazine, tells of Mr. King as he was known by the reporters of the Parliamentary Press Gallery.
One thing in today's papers may have puzzled readers a bit. Ottawa reporters have been telling everybody for years what a recluse Mr. King was, how hard it was to get to see him, how seldom he met the press. And today, every paper that I've seen is full of personal recollections of him, reminiscences of private and even intimate conversations. Well, both reports are honest. The contradiction is more apparent than real. It was hard to see Mr. King. You couldn't manage it casually. He never did what Mr. Saneron did at lunchtime today, wander into the Rideau Club all by himself and sit down at the nearest table. You saw Mr. King by appointment, and rarely. But you did see him, if you wanted to, and had a purpose in it. Except for his old friend Senator Charlie Bishop, Mr. King had no intimates among reporters here, but he would on occasion give a reporter a private interview. We've all had them at one time or another. And in those off-the-record interviews, he'd talk with amazing frankness. Maybe that was why the interviews themselves were so memorable. We were so used to his Hansard style, the ponderous prose, the elaborate networks of qualification and reservation. Well, in private, he'd say the same thing in substance, but he'd say it briefly and sharply and very often wittily. The other thing that made him memorable was personal charm. In public, he was cold, remote, a little inhuman. But face to face, he could make you feel that you were the one person in Canada he really wanted to see, that any remarks he made were for your ears only. You came away remembering a firm handshake, a warm smile, a remarkably clear, alert eye, and a tremendous impression of vigor, both physical and intellectual. In Ottawa today, there are not many mourners in the deep and true sense. Most of Mr. King's immediate family and many of his dearest friends are already dead. But the secondary mourners are legion. Not merely dozens, but hundreds in this city feel this is in some degree a personal loss, that they had some personal bond, something akin to friendship, with the greatest Canadian of his time.
So it's kind of sad. He didn't really have any friends or family like were that close to him. This is just reporters who'd interviewed him going, oh, yeah, I interviewed him once.
That's really sad, actually. I was kind of hoping this would be like another crazy episode on Mackenzie King, but this is just going to be really like saddening and sobering. Oh, man. Okay. Let's talk about how lonely a prime minister who died was soon afterwards. Like, he had no friends or family. Welcome to our comedy show. Here's a little ASMR for you.
There we go. No, but the thing is that I can't. Oh, you just tip water all down his lap.
On my pants. There we go.
So I was trying to dig into it. And I was just like, oh, I wanted to find things to make. I was trying to find more information about the rumor that he used to spend a lot of time with prostitutes because I thought that'd be a wacky episode.
Right.
But then I just felt bad for him.
Because he's lonely.
Because he died like lonely and he didn't have many close friends. And like he spent more time talking to the dead than he did to...
Please tell me you have more information than this is really sad.
No, I've got more clips. So this is from a show and it's a like a panel show thing in Canada. And they're interviewing a man who has just written a book about Mackenzie King based on his diaries.
Is Mackenzie King in this?
No, this is someone who wrote about Mackenzie King.
After he died?
After he died.
After he died.
After he died, this is in 1978.
Mr. Jackson, I remember you from your days at the Journal when I was working at the Citizen, and I'm sure that you met King very many times.
Well, I didn't know him all that well. He was less than a friend and a little more than an acquaintance. I knew him from all my years in the press gallery from 1940 on to the day of his death, and as a neighbor who lived about a block and a half away.
And what did you think of him as a man? I'm not thinking of the political figure because there have been so many political analyses done of him, but as a person.
Well, he was a great contradiction, I think.
He's got a smirk on his face.
I quarrel with the idea of there being a dark side to the man. I think he had a private life to live, just like Pierre Trudeau, who makes such a big thing of his private life. I think any public man is under such tremendous pressure. He has to find some refuge, and that's privacy.
Did you find him a man of any charm? I'm asking that for a particular reason.
Yes, I was a guest in his home one Christmas afternoon. I found him a very hospitable host.
So he's kind of like alluding to a dark side and like talking about, oh, well, he's entitled to have his private life as if he kind of knows about her.
I'm really curious what she wanted to follow up with was.
Well, we'll carry on now, but I just wanted to stop it and say, oh, I wouldn't say he had a dark side. He was entitled to his private life. I felt there was some kind of, I don't know.
Or these are like cult members that are trying to protect him.
No.
But like, there was identity and reputation.
There was a big. There was some rumors as well that he was gay too.
Okay. But
obviously, at this time, it was legal.
It was illegal.
It was illegal to be gay in most Western countries in like the 1940s and everything. And
This
is 1978. This is talking about him after he died.
Been in the. Wow, I didn't know. It was
but obviously,
illegal.
This is still. Jesus. But in the 70s, if he knew him that well, maybe he's. He doesn't want to talk about it because he's dead and it was nobody else's business. So, And it was at a time where people might have judged Mackenzie King over it in a way that...
This is a very sad episode.
No. But I'm just saying, I've got a funny clip at the end. So...
Nothing like a joke at the end of a funeral, man. Just lighten the mood.
You said you wanted to know more about Mackenzie King. I took a deep dive in and I found some really good archive voices.
Okay, you did. I'm regretting it. I appreciate the effort you put in. I did. I've been asking for it for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm getting. So shut up, Jesse, and take your vegetables.
Buckle up, Jesse. Hang on. Ready? There's more.
Yes, on the occasions that I met him, I thought he was quite a charming person, quite in contrast to the person you saw making speeches, who seemed rather austere and cold.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any inkling at all of the spiritualist side of the man? Did he ever discuss anything like that?
Talking to the dead.
No.
I can't imagine that he would have, and that you wouldn't have written a story.
No, I think if, his ministers might have known, or should have known.
Do you
Howe
think they did?
Or Ilsley or McDonald or Ralston. Well, if anybody was in a position to know, they would have. But there was no whisper of it.
So anyway, so that was talking about him and the spiritualism.
Right.
So even that was like a naughty thing to talk about.
Well, yeah.
He's talking to the dead.
He's getting advice from the dead on how to run the country. Like,
yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, they got an outsider's view. They might be useful to this too.
Oh, golly, Jesse. I've got some great news. We've had a fresh delivery from the ad man. Gee whiz, Reese. Really? From the ad man? Smell them. They're fresh.
Oh, ads. So, and this last clip I've got.
Oh God, it's even titled.
It's called Mackenzie King's Loneliness at Kingsmere.
Jesus Christ.
So here we go.
This is
okay.
A former yep. neighbor. But some of this is quite funny.
Oh, I'm cracking up, man.
Yeah, no, this clip I'm going to play now.
What was your first encounter with Mr. King?
Well, actually, I can't quite remember my very first encounter because I was a very small child. But I do remember having to sit on his knee at one point, which I didn't like much. But,
how old were you then?
I don't know. I think I must have been about 3 or 4. We used to come over to our cottage a great deal, especially in Sunday evenings, to sing hymns.
Oh, what were your favorite hymns?
Well, the one I particularly remember was Unto the Hills Around. He used to come every Sunday night, and I at the time got a little bored with singing hymns every Sunday night. So I remember one time I hid the hymn books, and he came over and the hymn books couldn't be found anywhere. And so I, so finally then he said, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. I know them all off the heart anyway. So we went out on the veranda and sang them all anyway.
It's actually really kind of sweet.
It's quite nice. I know. It's okay. I know all the hymns. No. And then his life was a musical. His life is a musical.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mackenzie King, the musical?
It's called I Know the Hymns, the Mackenzie King story. I know them all.
I know them all.
I really want to know them all. Whether big or whether they're small.
Keep going. I'm not going to stop you on this. This is great.
I ran the country from 1935 to 1948. I was born in 1874 and I died in 1950 at the age of 75. There you go. So this next bit of the interview is they talk about the night he won the Liberal leadership. So that he wasn't prime minister, but he was the leader of the Liberal Party. So as you can imagine, when people win, you know, you've seen the parties they have at the end of election night. So when people win things and they're like, hey, thanks everyone. And like,
I thought that was just in movies.
Or in Veep.
But Veep? What's Veep?
It's a TV show.
Veep?
It's about the vice president. It's a really funny comedy.
Yeah.
You should check it out.
Okay.
V-E-E-P.
Never heard of it.
It's it's a good show. Anyway, this is Mackenzie King's night, the night he won the leadership of the Liberal Party in Canada, which he then went on to win the election to become Prime Minister shortly after.
The night that he was made Liberal leader, I think it was in August. And we were all sitting on the veranda, which was in the front facing the lake, and Mr. King came through from the back and. He just said quietly, you know, I can still see him sort of standing there and saying, I've just been made Liberal leader and I have nobody to share it with. It seemed rather sad, and I think that was why he missed having a family at times like that.
Did he like poetry?
Yes, he's very fond of poetry. In fact, we used to quite often meet at the mail. We used to have to go for the mail at the other side of the lake at that time, and quite often would meet him there and walk back and be a in the fall when it was dark, you know, moonlight, and he was quite often stop and quote poetry to me.
What sort of things did he like best in poetry?
Well, I think more or less romantic period.
Do you remember any particular that he...
Well, I always remember him saying, there's a bit about a beautiful maiden with white fire laden whom mortals call the moon. He was very fond of that.
Oh, yes, what's that from?
Well, I'm not sure. I can't remember now.
So there we go, quoting poetry. get in the mails.
This is just making him sound like a really lonely, sad, lovely man.
That's all I found out about him. Yes, he spoke to the dead, but he was kind of, it's kind of sad. Like, hey, I'm the Liberal leader of Canada, and I've got no one to share it with. I know, I'm going to wander over to my neighbor's house and go, oh, I just won. What are you up to? It's really sad.
You told me this was going to be a funny clip, like just before you played it. You're like, oh, don't worry, this one's funny, Jesse. Trust me.
The funny bit was she said, I had to sit on his knee and I didn't like it. I thought that was funny.
It was just a knee slapper. I was like,
but anyway, so
it sounded like he was hitting on her, on his neighbor, reading her romantic poetry.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he would have been maybe in his 40s or 50s, and she was a lot younger.
Yeah,
but you know,
that's how it happened
in those days. Yeah, those dark days.
The dark days of Mackenzie King.
But I did look into him to try and find a cool, funny angle, and all I found was sadness, loneliness, poetry being quoted at small children.
Was she a small child at the time?
I don't know. Like, I think she was old then.
Because she was like,
poetry being quoted at neighbors involuntarily, and
involuntarily quoting, but I can't help myself. I'm so sorry. It just comes out.
Romantic poetry.
Really nice Tourette's.
Exactly.
Just spout poetry with okay.
But anyway, so that's what I found about that. I mean, that took me a lot of research just to find that.
That was an impressive amount of research. I'll give you that.
I mean, I will admit, like, no one will be laughing with tears in their eyes at this episode.
Totally different reasons.
I just hope people just go, he's a sad, lonely old man. And although he did speak to the dead.
I'm sure you've convinced a lot of people of that this episode. Now I'm wondering if he spoke to the dead because of how lonely he was. Like, and that's
maybe.
Sadder.
I'll be there soon. Don't worry.
Oh my God, man. Reese, Jesus Christ.
But also, man. I didn't want to spend all my time digging into the rumors of whether he was gay or not, because does it matter?
That's not really comedy.
That was his private, if he was
running the country
life.
By getting advice from the dead is comedy.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah. That's the comedy.
Whether
gold.
Or not he's gay.
And it was at a time where people did have to keep it secret because it would ruin their lives and their careers and they'd actually end up in jail. So like it's irrelevant really, but it was more just kind of finding an angle, go, well, he was a quirky prime minister, this stuff going on, but actually he was just, his second dog possessed by his mother died. He had to go and
that's true, by the way. If haven't heard the first episode about it, is true.
But you know, when you like, there's always like, there might be a lonely old person that you meet in your neighborhood, and like, you every time you bump into them, you end up talking to them for a long time because they're like, they haven't got anyone to talk to, and they just, I might be the only person they speak to today. He was that eventually.
Man,
I'm just in a rich people place.
Bummed the fuck out now, man. Like, I've been, and it's my fault. I've been asking you, God love you for doing the digging up Mackenzie King.
I dug him
like
up.
You did.
And you don't like what you saw.
And let's put him back, man. Let's just. Oh my God, what a sad.
But this a call to action. If you know someone who's alone.
Oh my God, you're just going to make this the saddest fucking episode.
No, this is a positive. How can you turn this call? Just speak to them for half an hour. Just speak to them. Go and visit them. Call them. Just because, you know, don't let them be Mackenzie King. Don't let them have to only speak to dead people.
Jesus Christ. That's okay. Yeah, I mean, that's, I can't argue. That's really sweet and nice. Yes.
Do that's a good call to action.
That's
an Instagram. Sorry, I can't say anything nice without saying something inappropriate after. I just can't do it. It's a problem.
That's a really good call to action, actually.
If you've got a lonely neighbor, then just go and talk to him.
I've heard that, because like I used to feel really bad for senior citizens in old folks' homes who wouldn't get any visitors. And I thought that was everybody in old folks' homes. And then I found out, and again, this might be completely infactual, but I'd like to believe it's true, that it's not everyone in old folks' homes. It's a certain percentage of senior citizens in old folks' homes who don't get any visitors. And the reason is they're giant assholes.
Well, they got to go somewhere.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah.
No, honestly, I think sometimes, most of the time in those homes, people are with people of a similar age and culture, and they've got friends and they bump into people, and those mini interactions in the hallway or at mealtimes are way better than being sat in a chair watching TV 8 hours a day. You're in your own home, but you don't necessarily have that kind of as much contact. So it can be much lonelier, people being independent in some cases, which is my point about.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. I think you should. I think, yeah, if you know someone, if you know a neighbor, go over and say hi, bring them a coffee or a soft drink or cookies or something, or just whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, give them a call, shout, email. That's a great call to action. It reminds me of just thinking of people that you normally wouldn't think about. And it reminds me of a poem that I read, not read, I was told. I was living in Toronto back in the mid-2000s, and there was poetry night, and I'd go to that, and it was fun. And you'd drink beer and think, after a few beers, that you actually thoroughly enjoyed poetry. And one of the poems was about, I forget what it was about, but there was a line in it, and I just remember the concept of the line because it was like 15 years ago. But I loved it. And it was about, getting older and as a woman. And one of the lines was about, like, if you're walking down the street and you see an elderly woman, give her a wink, right? It'll make her day, sort of thing. Right? This is coming from an elderly poet, telling this poetry. Like,
somebody winked at me on the street, regardless of my age, I'd be a bit freaked out.
Well, you know, like as a friendly sort of like sly kind
like
of
a comical, like a
not
wink.
Not a comical, no, like a sly.
Do you actually
sort
say
of like,
I go wink? Say wink as you wink. Then it wouldn't seem as sinister.
I don't know. This was 15 years ago. Maybe the environment was different back then, where you could like
wink at strangers.
You could wink at strangers, right? But like, I like the idea of like, you know, normally people don't pay attention. As you get older, people pay less and less and less attention to you on the street. And just for like a younger person to kind of give a sly wink to an elderly person as they walk by. I don't know. It was sweet when I heard it back then. Maybe the context of the poem helped a lot. Maybe I'm butchering it. You know, like just give a really creepy wink to elderly people. That's the call to action. Walk by old folks' homes and just stare at them and then give them those cold, hard, slow wink. A slow wink, specifically.
Yeah, slow wink. Slow wink an old person. That's Jesse's call to action. Anyway, any more great advice?
I'll come up with some, don't worry.
I'm going to come to one of those poetry nights and just make up my own poetry. Do you want me to make up a poem off the top of my head?
That's what you do poetry. Poetry.
It's easy.
Clang. Clang. Clang.
Clang. It's windy and you forgot to lock the gate. There we are. It's poetry.
Keep going. This is
that
cool.
Was it.
No, keep going. This is great.
Improvising more poetry.
Yeah, the same poem. You need like stanzas.
Who?
Stanzas.
I didn't do English.
I did do English. I don't know what a stanza is either. Don't worry.
I'm dyslexic. You've heard me try and
clang, clang, clang. You forgot to lock the gate.
And it's windy. There we go.
That's good. Okay. Send us your poems.
Yeah. Have you got an improvised poem about a gate?
Yep. Just specifically about gates.
And also, how's the Evian galleon going?
The what?
The water bottle ships we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know we talk about stuff we forget about.
Totally
move
forget
on.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Very short attention spans as podcasters.
Send us your call to action tonight is twofold.
We already did it.
We did two. Yeah, that's true.
It was a nice ending to the story. It was a really nice way to go out. Yeah.
It was a really nice
ending. Why are you trying to add more?
I was just going to say, send us your poetry about gates, but like your call to action is way better. What was it again? Say hi to someone you haven't seen or talked to in a
while. Someone you think might be lonely. Just talk to them for 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Because you might be the only conversation they have that day.
Do you know that there are, here in Halifax, there's an old folks home, seniors home. I don't know what
seniors
they're called.
Seniors home.
Called Northwood, which is a lovely place. And they have different tiers.
I was there recently.
Where are you?
I was making a film.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
About Northwood?
No, about some scientific research going on there.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It's the kind of thing I do in my time.
I made a film about Northwood as well. Well, helped make a film, I should say. I was part of a team that made it. They've got different teams, different tiers, depending on how old you are, how independent you are, et cetera, et cetera. And one of them is it's called Seniors for Seniors. And slightly younger seniors will have a list of people that they will call every day or every week, right? And just talk to for 20 minutes, a half an hour, because oftentimes it's the only phone call they're going to get that entire day or like for several days. And it's like the highlight of the day, which is really sweet and really, really fucking sad at the same time. You know what I mean? So just kind of like...
Yeah, yeah. I think just more old people should get into live streaming.
Oh my God, they totally should.
It'd be amazing.
No, there was... That reminds me of like the grandma who got into Skyrim, and she like... That's all she... But she didn't Twitch it, unfortunately, but she did... She was a gamer. She was like grandma gamer.
She'd do it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Anyway. Well, this has been a...
It was a very sobering, depressing episode.
That's why I'm here.
That reminded me... Actually, my buddy, my other buddy, Reese, his father... who sadly did pass away not that long ago. Before he did, he got into Twitch streaming. And he was in his, I believe, his 70s. And he was a paraplegic. And he gained this huge, huge following on Twitch. And he loved it. He loved it. He would have friends over and make a night of it. He'd have dinner and he'd have wine. And he'd read poetry. And I think he'd read Shakespeare quotes or just parts of Shakespeare, or read like parts of books. And he'd have philosophical discussions with his audience members. And it just became this amazing way for him to connect with the outside world.
Yeah.
And like he was saying, like he actually quoted, like, you're never alone when you've got Twitch. And like, I actually like captured that as a clip on Twitch because I loved it so much. But like,
it's a great advert for Twitch.
So like, I don't know if you were kind of half joking or not about senior citizens streaming, but I think that's actually like a great idea. Yeah. And of course, he didn't know how to set it up, but he had like one of his relatives come and like just set up the Twitch stream. Like, all you got to do is just hit this button and you're live, and like explain it to him and all that. Like, so that's actually kind of a great idea, honest to God.
Yeah. Should. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. This has been a very sobering, sad, depressing episode.
To stop asking for things that you want.
No more Mackenzie King. Cool. Leave Mackenzie King in the ground. Oh, God.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you. Don't forget, go talk to someone. That's it. Yep.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.